Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. The period of the judges was lawless, and that lawlessness led to hundreds of years of bloodshed. The Israelites, after Moses and Joshua, had a serious government problem. And essentially, they rejected one-man rule, God working through one man. And they chose a system of government where it was more decentralized and the people were relying on a handful of judges spread throughout the territory to give them counsel and direction on making decisions. But there weren't enough judges, and the people were not turning to those judges as much as they should. So there was basically a really big breakdown in government in ancient Israel. The people would pay dearly for this serious problem. Notice here, Judges 17 and verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's a really important point here in Judges, because it's actually repeated again as the very last verse of the book. The parting lesson of Judges. Here again, Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The period of the judges, the biblical book of Judges, is not just ancient history of a long forgotten people. Judges is part of the Bible called the former prophets. Judges is a prophetic book. What a strong warning Judges is to the 95% of God's people who have turned away in this end time. That's a serious problem in the Church of God after Herbert W. Armstrong died in 1986 and the worldwide Church of God fell apart. The vast majority of God's people now reject his own government. One man rule, that's how it's always been. But people think they can do it better. In the absence of God's government, they are doing that which is right in their own eyes, just like it talks about in Judges. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry has written an excellent book titled The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. You can get yourself a free copy of The Former Prophets at thetrumpet.com. But notice here on page 41, the very elect always choose God's government because they cannot be deceived. You see, we all have a choice. We can all choose to do what is right in our own eyes, or we can stick with what God says. We can realize that of ourselves, we're actually rather foolish and we need a lot of help. We certainly do not know what is best. God knows best, and God does things a certain way. God governs a certain way, and we have to be in line with that way, or else big trouble results. Lots of bloodshed, lots of lawlessness, spiritually, just like the ancient Israelites dealt with during the period of the judges physically. the very start of this biblical book of Judges is really quite motivating. Judges 1, verses 1 through 18 show how Israel was waging offensive warfare. They were clearing out the promised land. They were taking the land that God had promised to them. They were driving out. They were eliminating the pagan inhabitants of the land. People today might think that was a rather cruel way of doing things. But again, God knows best. God sanctioned this offensive warfare. He commanded it of the ancient Israelites. It doesn't matter if we think it's cruel. In fact, the peoples that had to be driven out of the promised land were the real abomination, practicing child sacrifice and all forms of idolatry. These were the kinds of people that would cause Israel to sin if they were allowed to remain in the land. Israel could not have people like this as their neighbors and still be expected to obey God. So they waged offensive warfare here in Judges chapter 1. In particular, you see a lot of decisive victories by Judah and Simeon, two of the tribes of Israel. Lots of victory, victory upon victory when doing it God's way. In particular, in verse 20 of Judges 1, there is the example of Caleb. Caleb, the mighty warrior, Joshua's friend, a lifelong loyal servant of God. And he won decisive victories because he did it God's way. However, it doesn't take long in all of the cycles of history for humans to compromise, to turn away from the simple way that works best. The few times that humans have ever really given God's way a chance, it hasn't lasted for very long. Because eventually, we use our own human reasoning and we think we have discovered a better way. And so we start to compromise with God's law. That's what ancient Israel did. Here they were winning tremendous, miraculous, flawless victories in the promised land, continually removing their enemies. And yet for some reason, beyond all logic, they changed the way they did things and they started to compromise. Notice Judges 1 and verse 19. And the Eternal was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. What a pathetic excuse by the tribe of Judah. Now, humanly, such a consideration might seem logical. Well, the enemy actually has some really intimidating vehicles. They're actually pretty well armed. Physically, it looks like it'll be tough to defeat them. But you have to remember the history of Israel, all they had just experienced. Repeatedly in their history, they had been winning victories where not even a single man died on their side. The Red Sea miracle saw the entire Egyptian army swallowed up and drowned. Not a single Israelite casualty. and repeatedly under the leadership of Joshua, as the Israelites stormed the promised land, they won victories without a single casualty. And only when there was serious wrongdoing did any Israelites die. There's the example of the Israelites trying to take the city of Ai, and I believe it was 36 men who died. That would normally be a very small number, except when you're used to losing exactly zero soldiers. But this was a serious tragedy for Israel. It was all because of one man and one family's sins, stealing the loot of Ai or of a previous city. And then, of course, they had to pay the price with a loss at Ai. But Joshua discovered, God showed Joshua the problem there. The problem was dealt with forcefully. And then the Israelites got right back to winning again. So the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Simeon, the entire nation of Israel should have known better than to compromise or to be afraid of the enemy's chariots of iron, knowing that if God was on their side, they were guaranteed a flawless victory. Notice here, Judges 1, verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Judah is guilty. Benjamin is guilty. And it just goes on and on and on throughout the rest of Judges chapter 1. Verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Once again, you see, the Israelites found a better way. They found a way to win victories that was even better than how God told them to do it. Why wipe them out completely when we could have them pay tribute? When we could continue to make money off of them? Well, the only reason we need is that God said to do it one way. That's all that matters. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Verse 31 shows that the tribe of Asher followed the crowd. Verse 32 as well. Verse 33 shows that Naphtali followed along with the same trend. Verse 34 actually shows the Amorites chasing away the tribe of Dan. That should have never happened. The Israelites were winning decisive victories, but they literally got tired of winning, and they started to compromise. They started to do it their own way instead of God's way. Mr. Fleury comments on this. Trend on page 42 of the Former Prophets. Israel seems to routinely exhibit this weakness of not doing what God says, especially when it comes to driving people out. God commanded that there be one law for everybody. Leviticus 24, verse 22. any foreigner who chose to live among the Israelites was to keep the same law and practice the same religion and worship the same God as the Israelites did. That is the only way a nation can ever work. Yet, in the modern nations of Israel, we allow millions and millions of people to come in while still clinging to their own languages, customs, religions, and practices. We are really suffering in the modern descendants of ancient Israel today, particularly America and Britain. We are not driving out the enemy or keeping out the enemy. People that hate Judeo-Christian values, people that hate the biblical moral codes that are the foundation of the West. The whole fundamental point of Islam is to conquer the entire world and to enforce their perverted religion on everybody else. And yet we think we can import millions of people who want Sharia law and somehow peacefully coexist side by side with them. We think we can dabble in all kinds of sorcery and dark arts, tarot card readings, astrology, speaking to a seer of some kind who claims to be able to talk with the dead, messing around with a Ouija board, all kinds of stuff that just summons the evil spirit world. Essentially, false religion that worships the devil. And we just have to tolerate all kinds of filth today. And it's not just about idolatry and pagan religion, but it's even just about blatant lawbreaking, importing tens of millions of illegals into the country. And it is clear that it's causing much suffering, much lawlessness and bloodshed in the country, just like the time of the judges for ancient Israel. All the countless crimes that are being committed by people who should not be here in the first place because they snuck in. And yet, even saying something like that is condemned as bigoted somehow. The whole world is supposed to be allowed to just swarm into America and reap their thousands and thousands of dollars in welfare and free housing and not have to work and in fact be a menace to civilians, to citizens. And it's just obvious, even out in public now, that we have been overrun. You don't hardly hear English being spoken in public anymore. And even just the way that people are conducting themselves now, it's a real breakdown in society, a lack of consideration, a lack of concern for keeping the law. It's clear when you drive, when you go driving, the amount of people that just recklessly almost crash into you. Everywhere you look, society is breaking down because of lawlessness. Just welcoming in the entire third world to America, people who refuse to assimilate. They do not want to keep the same law. Mr. Fleury continues here in the former prophets. In America, the modern descendants of Manasseh We host even those who are hostile to the Constitution, the law of the land. Making matters worse, we give them all kinds of welfare benefits, despite our already having a gargantuan debt that we cannot pay. But the lawless radical left says it is the only loving thing to do. And of course, it has the side of benefit of buying these liberals votes and keeping them in power. Notice what Mr. Fleury says here. Those people don't know God, and they don't understand the devil. Their way will never work out. This is breaking God's law, and it is destroying our nations. It always leads to disaster. History repeats itself. The time of the judges is back. We've had a government problem as the nations of Israel for such a long time. We've been doing that which is right in our own eyes for now thousands of years, whether you're thinking of ancient Israel or the modern descendants today. And how is that working out? How is our way working out? Is it producing lawlessness and bloodshed, rivers of blood? Shouldn't we learn the lesson of Judges, which is that compromise with God's government is deadly? Doing things against the way God commands is deadly. Notice here on page 43, we'll just conclude with this quote. And just think about the lessons we need to learn from the time of the judges and how those lessons are really more relevant than ever today. The former prophets, page 43. God commanded one law for everyone, both Israelite and stranger. We must learn to think like the God of Israel. Ultimately, everybody is going to become Israel. That is the way salvation works. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.